Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 350.
The portion of God's Word that we wish to read together in this morning hour you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Luke and are of the second chapter, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad, saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. Peter Hager, who was spared in an automobile accident yesterday. Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh to Thee. It is the morning hour of this work day, but it has been set aside by men that we may come up unto Thy house of prayer in commemoration of the ascending forth of Thine only begotten Son into this world. O Lord, how many in this day do celebrate in an outward way, but have nothing but ignorance concerning Thy only begotten Son. And Thou knowest us also when we are gathered together. O Lord, then by nature we have no desire for Thee and for these things. Then it is a matter of form and of custom, which is a good custom, but it is not enough. And we so stand in need of the power of thy Holy Spirit, that there may be a desire born in our hearts and a need for thee and thy only begotten Son. And then it is a wonder that cannot be understood and cannot be comprehended by mankind, that thou shouldst come and take upon thyself our own flesh, in order that thou may give thyself unto suffering and even unto the death of the cross, in order that thou may pay the price for sin, in order that thou may deliver those who are not able to deliver themselves. Lord, then we ought to stand in great awe and wonder in this morning hour at that great miracle that thou hast done so long ago. Lord, that thou may give in our hearts in this morning a little insight by the power of thy Holy Spirit into thy word of truth. Oh, and there has never been in our hearts any desire after thee, and that thou may in this morning open thy holy word, and that our hearts may be convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that we may be given to cry out of our deep need unto thee, who alone art able to deliver us. But thou knowest then that there are also those who do long and who do desire for that day that child also may be born in their hearts. O Lord, then they may hear of the Son of thee, but then there is no knowledge of him, because then he has never been open to their own soul. And then they know what is so necessary, but they are not able to give it unto themselves. O Lord, we beseech thee that in this morning and in this day that thou wouldst visit them with thy salvation, that those who have who long for thee and who are not able to take away that great separation between thee and their soul, that those who do see nothing but their own sin and a holy law and a just God, and that there is no way to overbridge that great gulf that is between. O Lord, we beseech thee, God of heaven and of earth, that thou may so remember them in this day, that thou wouldst visit them, and that thou may open thy holy word, and that there may be eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, that that blessed gospel may come for the first time in their life. Oh, that Christmas may be experienced in their own hearts, and that thy dear Son may become so precious unto them. Lord, that thou may look also upon those of thy own children. For thou knowest that what is necessary not only for the first time, but also by renewal. And then when there is no burden of sin that is living daily within the heart, and then there is also no need for that child. Oh, then it is possible that also in this day, in this very morning hour, and that there has been a rising at the rising of the sun, with a little realization of how poor that it has become within their hearts once again. Oh Lord, then it is possible that in this morning hour, and that there is a people that have looked back to those times that thou hast visited their soul, and that have said unto thee in this morning hour, O Lord, wilt thou come again? And wilt thou revive the work in the midst of the years in wrath? Remember mercy. Oh, that thou thyself may look upon thy church, and that thou may grant also by renewal in this day a little opening into the blessed mysteries of free and sovereign grace for the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, when we are not able to cleanse ourselves, and when there is nothing to be found even after received grace, but a fountain of iniquity and sin that is pouring forth its mire and its dirt. O Lord, then that blessed Son becomes so necessary again. Oh, could it please Thee, who standest so often behind our wall, that Thou mayest show Thyself a little through the lattice in this day, that Thou may give Thy word free course, and that there may be a little beholding of Thy face, and that there may be a little courage also in the midst of the Meshach of this world. Look upon him that was in an accident in the day of yesterday. And there are others that we have heard of, relatives. Lord, Thou hast spared lives. Thou hast looked yet in mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. But oh, that Thou may give them in this day hearts to acknowledge Thee in truth. Oh, that there may be for each and every one of us a warning. And because the year comes quickly to its close, but we do not know what a day may bring forth. And there may be many gatherings with one another, but we do not know when we shall gather no more with one another. O Lord, that we may be given to hasten for the sake of our life, and that this day also may be sanctified. Wilt thou remember all that cannot gather with us in thy house? Oh, when there is a desire, as we have sung together, to be in thy house of prayer. Oh, and they are in their own homes or in other places, Lord, that thou may remember them this day. And grant that thou thyself would be a sanctuary unto them. And that thou may grant a blessing also to those who are widows, the widower, and all those that miss their loved ones. In these days, that thou may remember them in a special way. O Lord, when we must miss one another, oh, then we especially cannot miss thee. Oh, that thou would fill the empty places with thyself. And wilt thou grant a little eating and a little drinking of that blessed fountain that shall never cease. Lord, that thou may remember all that have become old. So many times have heard of this blessed story of thy coming into this world, and it remains yet for them a story. O Lord, could it be, and that in this day thou wouldst make it more? O that there may be the blessing from above. Remember them in old age and all those that ail, all that are weak and all that are sickly. And wilt thou look upon all those that are in the midst of this great country? Lord, thou knowest how that thy word that has been so taken away. Oh, then we have departed therefrom, and it is thy righteous judgment that we are left over to ourselves. But we beseech thee that thou wouldst yet have dealings with us to bring us on our knees before thee, that there may be a work yet by thee in the midst of these great nations wherein we live, and that there may be a returning again to thy law and to thy testimonies. That we may learn to kiss the Son, as thou dost say. Lord, look upon us in this morning hour. Oh, do help us to bring thy word. Give us a little strength in our weakness. And wilt thou help us that thy spirit may open thy word of truth. That we may receive freedom and liberty, that thou wouldst be among us feelingly and believingly, for the sake of thy great name and for the profit of our poor souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 263 all the stanzas. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are His doings, for His arm is strong. And what follows, there is only one collection today for the Calvin Christian School, 263. All the stanzas. Beloved congregation, Paul writes to Timothy of those who have a form of godliness, but who deny the power thereof. From such, he says, turn away. If we see the influx of Islam in this country, then we are sometimes glad if we can only hear even a so-called Christian song coming over the loudspeakers in the malls in this country, because there are many places where the form is hardly even tolerated anymore. And we can fear that that time is soon coming when even to hear the name of Christ will be in our society considered an intolerable matter. On the other hand, it is so easy for us to have the form and yet to miss the substance, and then that is not only for our land and those on the outside of us, but that is also for we ourselves. Christmas, that is very rightly a joyous occasion. We have heard the word of that angel to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so there is also a great joy in this land wherein we are dwelling. But congregation, how many in this morning are sitting round about a Christmas tree? Are you jealous of those children, boys and girls? You need not be jealous of them. Why not? Because then they will experience that everything in this world cannot satisfy them. You experience the same things by times, do you not? And thus there will also be in this day very many disappointments, disappointed expectations for all the goods and all the pleasures of this world. But when we may now experience in our hearts and what Christmas truly is, and then it shall be no disappointment. And then it will far exceed every expectation that was within our hearts. But congregation, how few may know what this is, to really to experience what Christmas is in a personal way, that is, with the help of the Lord. What we wish to try to consider in this morning hour out of the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that was read to you, Luke 2, and thereof the 12th verse. Luke 2, verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So far, the words of our text. A sign of the heavenly child, first given to the shepherds on Christmas Day, and second, continuing with the church unto this day, a sign of the heavenly child given to the shepherds on Christmas Day, and second, continuing with the church to this day. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That is, congregation, the decree of the earthly monarch. But it is all directed by the decree of the heavenly monarch. That decree which was from the foundations of the world. That decree which was from eternity. And those decrees of the earthly monarch and the decree of the heavenly monarch, they had a purpose. What were they? And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Thus, a purpose that is of the earthly monarch to be taxed. That is of the earthly monarch to be counted. That is of the earthly monarch for his earthly honor, for his earthly glory, for his earthly welfare. But now there is also a purpose of the heavenly monarch. And then there is not one iota, there is not the smallest part of that which has been decreed by that heavenly monarch, which shall not certainly come to pass. As the prophet of the Lord, he has prophesied by the power of the Spirit already long ago, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, which is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. Thus the son of David, he shall be born in the city of David, because it is the decree of that heavenly monarch. How many questions must have been in the heart of Mary and in the heart of Joseph? For they have certainly known by the word of the Lord there that Messiah was to be born by the decree of that heavenly monarch. And they were questions that certainly have remained within themselves even to the very, very end. What mysteries there can be living in the hearts of God's true church. How that the Lord is able to fulfill that which he has promised unto me. And then what a grace not to step ahead of the Lord, but to follow on behind him. How that Joseph and Mary must have marveled in these days at this providence of the Lord, at this decree of this earthly monarch. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And thus we hear a crying. Thus we hear a crying coming from this stable a crying coming, from this manger an infant's cry. You say maybe, then we have sung a song, that song, and they call it Away in the Manger. And there it says that and no crying he makes. Congregation, is that now a song for us? Is that now a song that we ought to teach our children? No crying he makes. That is nothing but a glamorization of the incarnation of the Son of God. That is, as the rest of that Christmas season that is so often being celebrated in this world. But the facts are different. What are the facts? The facts are that that Son of God, he has descended from heaven, and that he has come into this sin-cursed world. The fact is that he came not to lay down his peaceful head, no. But the fact is that he came to suffer. The fact is that he came to die. And that did not begin after 30 years, no. But that suffering of that child that has begun already in the day that he was born. So we can see it. When he has had to flee already as a child into that land of Egypt, the entire world that is ignorant what has taken place in this night. Of course, the greatest part, they have no interest in it. And when there is no interest, and when there is no need, and when there is no desire, then the judgment of the Lord is right, that he would leave us also in our ignorance. So how is it then for us in this morning congregation, when there is in us no need for this child? Then how just and how right is the Lord to leave us in our ignorance? How close were those shepherds to this newborn child? Luke writes that they were in the same country. That is, that they were in the nearby fields. That is, that they were very, very close. And yet they have no idea what has taken place on their behalf. Neither do they have any idea that in this very day that they are going to receive a visit from heaven. Oh, how close can that longing people be to receiving the greatest blessings of the Lord, and yet they can be so entirely ignorant of it. But congregation, this ignorance, that is soon going to end. And that is going to end how? That is going to end by the revelations of the Lord. It is going to end by the appearing of the Lord. It is going to end by the speaking of the Lord. And thus it is one thing for that child to be born, but it is another thing for that child to be revealed. It is one thing that Christmas has taken place. It is another thing that Christmas may be applied also unto us. Thus there is that which is objective, but there is now also that which is subjective. And now we ask you this question. Because when we come to gather and to commemorate that in this morning which was objective, that which has taken place so long ago, is there now in the heart of any young or old, that have awakened in this morning and said, Lord, many times, and it is so well known unto me and what has taken place, but oh, to have this to be known in my heart, in my soul, is there any such a desire that is living in your heart in this morning? Amidst the darkness wherein those shepherds are dwelling in this night, and there is suddenly a very bright light. Congregation, do you know such a light in the darkness? Because that is how it becomes, especially when we may experience what Christmas truly is. Then indeed, then there is a great light that is shining from heaven upon His holy word. David, he says that unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious. He is full of compassion. He is righteous. Light in the darkness. Then you may ask God's children if that is not the way it is. That there ariseth unto them from another side, that light in the darkness. And what is that concerning? Oh, then there has been light. There has been light upon that law. There has been light upon their misery. There has been light upon their wretchedness. But then there is in them so much darkness. Darkness concerning how I may escape that misery, how I may be delivered from my sins and miseries. Do you know such light? Do you know such darkness? Do you know also this light? When the Lord is coming to shed light upon His holy word concerning His only begotten Son, that He sheds light concerning that mediator that He has sent into the world, that He may seek and that He may save that which is lost. Light. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Congregation, what tidings were ever brought in this world, in the history of our world, that are as these tidings? What greater tidings have been heard by the ears of men than the tidings of the coming of the Son of God into the flesh? Never were there tidings that were more significant unto fallen men, young and old, rich and poor, bond and free. Never were there tidings that have been more significant concerning not only the body, the welfare of the body of a man, but also for the welfare of his soul. Tidings. But what was the most significant part of those tidings, when those tidings were brought unto those shepherds? Well, it is that we read that those angels are declaring that child that is born unto them personally, unto you is born this day. Something of this is experienced. When the Lord gives Christmas to be experienced in the heart of a man and of a boy, of a girl, then there is something of this experienced also in our hearts. Unto you, the Lord, congregation, He is making it so personal. And it is in this child that a way is being opened unto a man in who can find in himself no other way. And then it is, as our fathers say, not only for others, but also for me. And it is this fact that it is not only for others, but also for me, that is becoming the greatest wonder their soul. But that brings us now to our text. And why? Because what is a great wonder is also something that is very difficult for us to believe. The greater the wonder, the harder that it is for us to receive that wonder. When Peter was delivered out of the prison, then we can read that he thought he was in a trance. He thought that it was a dream. He thought that it was not real. And how many times do God's children look back upon what the Lord He has spoken, that they say, was that really true? Was it not a dream? Was that not a vision? Was that not something that has just been a figment of my own imagination? And why? Because of the wonder. Could that really be for me? And that a message from heaven for such a one as I am? And therefore we read here, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Congregation, what is a sign? A sign is a mark. A sign is a token. A sign is something we can see, or we can hear. We can touch something that helps us to believe, to receive that which is not immediately evident to us. So, children, when you become sick, how do you know that you are sick? This may be caused by a virus, or it is caused by some bacteria and you become sick, but you cannot see that virus, you cannot see that bacteria. How do you know you are sick? You say, well, I have a fever. That is a sign. I have aches, I have pains, I'm so tired. Yes, they are signs. They are signs of something that otherwise is not so immediately evident to you. And now the Lord, He gives to these shepherds also a sign. This shall be a sign unto you. What was it that was not immediately evident unto those shepherds? Well, in the first place, it would not be immediately evident to them who this child would be. That is, when they would try to find this child, then there would also be many other children in Bethlehem. And so then they needed a sign. They needed a sign that would distinguish this child, this heavenly child of whom this angel spake, that would distinguish that child from every other ordinary child that was in Bethlehem. Because that was not immediately evident to them which child that it was. There is something else that would not be immediately evident. And what is that? That is, when they would see that child, then it would not be immediately evident that this child was the Son of God. Then it would not be immediately evident that this child was the promised Messiah. Because then they would see in that child, in a natural way, nothing that was special. Even as we said, then they would not see in any special way that that child was not a child who never, cried. No. But that he was just like each and every other little child that was in Bethlehem. And therefore, those shepherds receive a sign. And this shall be a sign unto you. And from whom does that sign come? That comes from the Lord. That was his heavenly messenger that is speaking unto these shepherds. And so that is actually a heavenly sign of this heavenly child. A sign, congregation, that is a very precious thing. Because a sign that is for confirmation. Not everyone receives a sign. We can read of the Pharisees that they asked the Lord Jesus for a sign. But the Lord Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit when they asked him for a sign. And he says, wherefore does this generation ask and seek for a sign? Verily, I say unto you that no sign shall be given unto this generation, except, he says, for the sign of Jonas the prophet. Why was the Lord so deeply grieved? Well, because that people had received so many signs. The signs that Christ gave them, they were multiplied one after the other to show them his divinity, the miracles which he did, the words, the gracious words which he spake, the truth, all of it together. And then there was no excuse. And then for him grant unto them other signs, more signs, to multiply them one upon the other. Oh, that would do nothing for their own wretched unbelief. Because there was rebellion that was living within their hearts. We must be careful. We must be careful to seek for a sign. Zacharias, he also asked for a sign. He said, whereby shall I know this? And the Lord was displeased. Why? Because Gabriel, he says, I am Gabriel. I stand before God, and I am sent to tell to you this message. Then it should have been sufficient for Zacharias to wait upon that word of the Lord. On the other hand, then we can read there are times when the Lord is giving signs unto his people. If we think about Gideon, Then the Lord had a very great work for Gideon to do. And then the Lord has seen fit to encourage Gideon to go forward with signs, the fleece, wet, dry, dry, wet, and the Lord to add even those signs that Gideon had not asked in order to encourage him in that great work which he felt himself unqualified for. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, they are also signs. Signs given unto God's church that they may see, that they may feel, that they may taste, that they may eat, in order that they may believe what is not immediately evident unto them. And now a sign that the Lord gives unto these shepherds. They did not ask for that sign. The Lord gave them that sign out of His own goodness. Wherefore? Because He knoweth that we are dust. A sign. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That was a sure sign. Right, children? They could not miss that child, could they? Because how many children, boys and girls, in all of Bethlehem, how many children, how many babies do you think were laying in a manger? You would say there is only one. That is right. And so when they would come upon this child, and they would see that child lying in that manger, well, then you say, then they could be absolutely sure with this sign that this is the right child. That is right. But now there is more. Because not only may they know that this is the right child, but they also may know that this child is the Son of God. They may also know that this child is that Savior which was sent into the world. How may they know that? They may know that by this sign that was given unto them, but that was given unto us also. But we want to consider that, the Lord willing, after we sing. Psalter 397, 2, 4, and 5. The Lord is greatly to be praised. His greatness is beyond our thought. From age to age, the sons of men shall tell the wonders God has wrought. 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 397. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. There could have been many signs. There could have been many different signs that the Lord had given unto the shepherds. But this is now the sign that the Lord has chosen. And why has the Lord chosen this sign? That it may not be only for those shepherds, but that it may be a sign for the church of all ages. What kind of people were those shepherds? Those shepherds, they were not those that belonged to the highest class. No, the shepherds, they were those that belonged unto the lowest class of the people. And now if those shepherds, if they were told, you must now go unto the palace of the king, because there the Son of God has been born. How would that have been for those shepherds? Those common shepherds. Those lowly shepherds. What do you think they would have said, boys and girls? Then they may have said, well, shall we go in this clothing? Shall we go just as we are? And we cannot go into that palace. And we are but crude people. And we do not know how to speak. And what we must say when we come into that palace. Then we will have to now make ourselves fit in order that we may come to see this child. How was that for those shepherds? And when they have heard that angel say that they have not to go into the palace of the king, but that they will find that child lying in a manger. And you say there was nothing so fitting. There was nothing so suitable for those shepherds. Then how glad that they must have been. That they had then no preparations to make. And then that encouragement that was there immediately, because when those angels, they have gone away into heaven, and then those shepherds, they said, let us now go. That was not tomorrow, after that they have prepared themselves, not tomorrow, after they had made themselves fit in any way. No, but they have taken their poor shepherd's staff and their poor shepherd's clothing, and they had said, let us now go to see this thing which has been made known unto us. Congregation, what is now that opinion that a man has of himself when he is instructed by the Spirit of the Lord? When the Lord will open to us truly the smallest part of our sin, then it is bringing us in the dust of self-abasement. Then it is possible that we are sitting on the throne in this world, that we have in this world a position of great eminence and of prominence, but within ourselves, then we come among the lowest and even below the lowest class of persons in this world. Who would you say that is the greatest of the apostles? You say that is the apostle Paul. And what did he say of himself? He said, I am less than the least of all the saints. And why? Because, he said, I have persecuted the church of God. That is, the knowledge, the opening of our sin that is humbling a man in the dust. Jacob, he says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast shown unto thy servant. You read of Elizabeth. When Mary came to see her, she said, what is this? What is this that the mother of my Lord should come to me? What did Mary say? She said that the Lord, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Oh, the knowledge of sin that is bringing a man so in the dust. That publican, he smote upon his breast. And he said, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That is not a people that are bold to come to that great king. They are not. Abraham, he says, behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. The sight of our sin, how that thou will bring a man so low. David, he says, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, he says, behold thy servant. That is now the fruit. That is the fruit of the opening of the Spirit of the Lord into who and what we are. How? How shall such a people find liberty at that throne of the Most High God? Except that he would be pleased to condescend from that high and that holy place unto them. Is not this that very sign that the Lord by his servants, the angels, has given unto these lowly shepherds? And then not only to those shepherds, but he has given that same sign unto the church of all ages. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Who can comprehend? Who can comprehend it? This shall be a sign unto you that can arise to him. That can arise to him.
ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You shall find him. You shall find him eating with publicans and with sinners. And this shall be a sign unto you who cannot pray to him, that you shall find him crawling in that garden as a worm and as no man. This shall be a sign to you who cannot conquer your own sin, that you will find him upon that cross on Golgotha. This shall be a sign unto you that are unable to overcome that great separation, that great gulf between God and your soul, that you shall find him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What is congregation a sign for? A sign that is for confirmation. That is confirmation of that which is not immediately evident. It is confirmation of that holy word of God, which is not evident to us. Are those also among us that cannot climb unto God, that cannot attain to his righteousness? Or it was for this cause, and it was for such persons, that Christ has laid himself in that manger, that it may be a sign unto you. Are there those that are not able to attain unto his holiness, and therefore cannot approach unto him? It is for such that Christ has laid himself in that manger, in order that it may be a sign unto you. Never was a man too guilty. Never was a man too sinful. Never was a man too corrupt. Never was a man too polluted. Never. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We would say, no, Lord, that is no place for thy son. But the Father says, lay him there. Lay him there for a sign. For a sign to the shepherds. And for a sign to a church of all ages. Never to corrupt. No preparation necessary. How can we? How can we? Where will you begin? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Where will you begin to cleanse the fountain of iniquity that is living every day and that is spewing out its mire and its dirt? Where will you begin? O congregation, that this manger
that this manger would be this day a sign unto the most wretched among us, that you may be given by that Spirit of the Lord to say with those shepherds, let us now go. Let us now go to see this thing which is made known unto us. Happy people. Happy people. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This shall be a sign unto you, young people. There are so many people, they speak of that name Jesus. You say that is a good thing. Alas, we would say, may it be right. May it be right. Say, how may you know if it is right? Will you know what the truth is? When a man speaks of that name Jesus, when a man speaks about that Christ child, when a man says that he glories in that child, well, the Lord gives a sign that we may know what is that right speaking and what is that speaking that is not right. It is such a simple sign, is it not? And what is that sign? Well, that babe that is always laid in a manger. That is the divine decree. The babe and the manger, they go together. Thus, when you hear about that child, when you hear speaking about that babe, then listen carefully and look carefully and ask yourself, but is that babe now laying in a manger? Because if a man is never broken down, and if a man is never cut off in himself, then that child is not laid there. And if a man never has become a sinner before God, then that child is not laid there. And if a man has never become wretched and never become unworthy, no, then that child is not there. And when God's children, God's privileged children, they are rising to be higher, anything more than a sinner, then you will find that that child is gone. Oh, let us not deceive ourselves. This congregation is a sign from heaven. It is not our sign. It is the Lord's sign. Sin and grace. Those two things go together. And those two things, they can never be separated from one another. Oh, ask the Lord to make you a sinner. Ask the Lord to show you who you are. If He has never shown you this, ask the Lord, open, Lord, my eyes to show what is living within, and give thy child, O thy dear son, to be born within, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, humble us under thy goodness, for there are many who may never hear thy word, and that never hear of that child, and there are still more that may never hear of where that child is laid. O Lord, humble us under thy goodness, but wilt thou also give the application to each and every one of us? We cannot miss it upon our journey to a great eternity when we will stand before thee. Wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Wilt thou bring us with desire again in thy house in this afternoon hour? Remember him that will go before us. Grant us desires, living, feeling desires, and thy blessing upon thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 198, 1, 2, 3, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, and the meek protected from the proud. 1, 2, 3, and 7 of Psalter 198. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.